Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are here again studying from Terrorize Bible Study, Wishing Forward, Seven Moments Jesus Prayed, and this is the seventh moment that Jesus prayed in Luke 22:39-46. And last week we were just talking about what a betrayer looks like and when we can look like a betrayer. I know that each one of us have a testimony in this room, and just the fact that once we were in sin and now we've been saved, and how we are called to be set apart and not to look like everyone else. And it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It is, you know. For those that are just cluing in, I did story 2 weeks ago, but you know what? I'm curious. Anybody want to tell a little bit? Does anybody think they could tell in their own words what happened on the night that they went and prayed? Anybody? Going once, going twice. They're all staying silent. Tara, really, you aren't going to do this to us. Okay, I'm going to ask questions, and you guys are going to tell the story by me asking questions. Okay, because I want us to get it down. All right, so after the Lord's Supper, and they went up to the Mount of Olives, what did Jesus begin with telling them once they got to the top of the mountain? What did he tell them?
He told them to pray.
To stay awake.
Pray that they will not fall into temptation.
Mm-hmm. Pray that they would not fall into temptation.
Correct.
All right. And then at this point, it says that Jesus went about a stone's throw away. Mm-hmm. What did he do?
Prayed.
He went and prayed and said, Father, if this cup is, take this cup from me, if it's not your will,
let your will be done.
Not my will, but your will be done. Mm-hmm. Good.
It's so crazy when you get asked a question, the pressure that comes.
It's crazy. But you guys know this. It's you know, but I want you to see how it's important that we be able to go through it over
dialogue
and over
it.
Because I'm going to finish the story and then I'll explain.
Okay.
And so once they, Jesus did that, he had an angel come.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel did what?
Strengthen him.
Mm-hmm. The angel strengthened him. And then he, in his anguish, he knelt down and what did he do?
Prayed again.
He prayed again. But this time what happened?
Is this when he was sweating blood?
Sweating blood. Okay. And it fell to the ground. And then Jesus went over to the disciples one more time. And this time he found them exhausted. And what did he say to them?
Why are you sleeping?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get up.
In one of the passages he says, enough.
Yeah,
you know, to me it was like,
get up.
Yeah.
This is very good.
Get going here. Yeah.
And then he gives the phrase again.
Mm-hmm. Pray that you will not fall into temptation.
Okay. He came back a third time, and after praying for the Lord to remove the cup to him, he looks at them and he says, are you still sleeping? Get up. The hour is near. The sinners have come. Rise. Let us go. Okay. We just essentially, through me questioning you, storied again through the passage. Do you see how simple it is? And once we collectively work together, we can help each other. We can do this, right?
It's a collective thing.
And so I wanted to point something out before we went back to the three things, the three temptations we were looking at. He sweat like blood in his anguish. And two things that occurred to me. The Lord sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. The angel strengthened Jesus. Yet scripture says in the very next phrase, in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, Lord, even in your strength, I can still have anguish of what is to come. And because I think a lot of times I can feel guilt or anxiety over the fact that maybe I am in anguish over something I know I'm going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that maybe I'm in sin, but right here we know he never sinned. Mm. And yet an angel strengthened him, yet he still in anguish prayed more earnestly.
What does anguish mean?
It's agony. As if you were at a great battle that you just can't handle.
You knew what was
coming. It's beyond your ability. And you know that you're going to have to fight the fight of your life, kind of feeling inside. Mm. It is not a sin to be in anguish. The Lord will even strengthen us, and we can still have the anguish of knowing what is to come. The difference was, as he said, not my will, but your will be done. And so I wanted you to understand this, because so often we can allow ourselves to wear a guilt for something that we're not intended to wear. And I just want you to know, Sandy, because of what we had the dialogue about in between, this is a part of what I had prepared for this. This was not because of you, because we were just discussing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to share, if you don't mind.
Nope.
And in between that, Sandy's been grieving. How long has it been since your precious
man? It'll
be
May in
2 years. In
2 years in May.
In May. And she struggles with, you know, am I being selfish or am I in grief, knowing the process of what she's dealing with. And I think sometimes we can wear a guilt for something we're not intended to wear a guilt for. God created us to have a process of grief.
And it is an anguish.
And it's an anguish. It is, isn't it?
No, not like Christ, but...
No, but no. It is. It's your anguish.
Absolutely. It's an intensity that you don't even know, yeah.
And would you say that the Lord has strengthened you in this
time? Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So even in
and
the
you pray harder.
And you pray yeah, more earnestly. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you see? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted us to visit that, because maybe there's somebody that's listening that needs to hear
right.
that it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be in anguish, mm-hmm. to trust the Lord to strengthen you, mm-hmm. and then keep praying more earnestly.
Well, and I think just as I will be moving here shortly, mm-hmm. that there will be a grieving of Omaha.
Absolutely.
And moving to the next town and grieving the church and just grieving the people that I'm so accustomed to being around. But I know that God will give me the strength, and also to know that he has a plan of where I'm supposed to go. But mm-hmm. it's still that when you're in a position of leadership at a church, to start the opposite way.
Yeah.
Starting over.
I feel like this teaching is just for me about grasping for greatness, because I've just been in this leadership role for 4 years now, and then to be at a church where nobody knows yeah. you, and you walk in and I could be a greeter, and there's nothing wrong with being a greeter, but I'm saying, like, you know, I'm just the low man on the totem pole, but I was the low man on the totem pole here. I just have to remember who I am in Christ, and just because I was in a leadership position at one church doesn't mean that that's what I'm supposed to do at the next church. And it's a lot of learning and grieving. Like, I'm experiencing all this.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a loss of a spouse. It's all types of grieving. Like you're saying, or somebody lost a job, which is happening a lot right now.
Yep.
You know, just, I can't even top of my head think of others. But
but there's plenty. And the thing is that what we understand is, I titled this, Jesus Prayed in Times of Preparation. Who's to say what that preparation is for any of us?
Right.
We don't know what that preparation is. Mm-hmm. We have no clue. And as I thought about it, I thought, really and truly, it's a wishing forward to the unknown of the known.
That's good.
Okay? Because Sabrina, you know you're moving, but there is an unknown factor there. There is an unknown factor that you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But you still are wishing forward, wanting to be a Christ-like child, as you are moving into this, in this time of preparation, as he is laying into you. And Jesus' warning is, pray lest you fall into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what that temptation could be for you, okay? You, Sandy, are in preparation for an unknown, because you no longer have Steve.
Right.
And so you know what tomorrow holds, not him, but the unknown, because the unknown. But the thing is, in preparation, you have to prepare in order that you not be
deceived into temptation. And that's so hard. You're talking about, like, a long time. Steve and I were married almost 45 years, like 18 days short. And so 45 years, I'm aging myself. Sorry.
No. Sandy, that's why you're here.
Yes,
because
Sandy, how old were you when you got married?
10.
No. It was back in the pioneer days.
Yeah. As a mail order bride.
Buggy.
But, you know, we had not so good of days, and we had great days. You know, our last years were wonderful, and our first years were wonderful. Then there's an in-between marriage, you know, where people either fight, you know, get along, stay with it, whatever. But we chose to be together, and it was a good choice.
Mm. You know, both of you guys are talking about, like, big seasons of your lives. But I guess the thing that I'm drawing from this is just everyday little decisions. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, where it's like, you know, like my choice to go to school. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a little, but, you know, it was like, you know, I mean, that's maybe even a little bit bigger. But I'm just thinking every day, like, should I do this Bible study or that Bible study? Or, you know, should my children go to school? Or should I associate with, you know, this person? Or how do I lead my children, mm-hmm. you know, when they're having issues with friends? And, you know, I think it all comes down to is exactly, you know, there's a certain amount of anguish, certainly nothing compared to, you know, a move or a death. But those little things every day mm-hmm. can impact your walk.
Absolutely.
Completely. It does.
Because every decision is going to result in some sort of a consequence, either good, bad, or
right.
whatever it's going to mm-hmm. lead you.
And that's the preparation that he's wanting us to have. Mm-hmm. That is the reason why he says, pray. Prayer is the answer
powerful.
That mm-hmm. Jesus gave to prepare us for what is the known unknown. Knowing mm-hmm. that we're facing what will be unknown. And that is what will equip us. And the greatest equipping comes if we're praying the Word of God mm-hmm. into us. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you countless situations just this week where I have prayed into a circumstance and God has shown me clearly how he has answered that prayer specifically. And you know, and it's funny, just some of my prayers I've prayed for my husband. You know, and one in particular situation, which is hilarious, and I had it in my journal so I could prove it. I actually prayed that it would literally bless his socks off. And he was like, man, I just took my socks off. You know, he was like so excited because as what he was telling me, you know, and I mean, he had no idea that that was the phrase I had prayed for him in preparation for the circumstances he was going to be facing. But I had prayed that for him, and then he actually used a phrase that I had prayed in my journal. And
I love
he was
it.
Just That's getting neat. Home. He was just getting home from work. He had no clue that that was in my journal, you know. And so, when we take that time to lay the preparation, when we take that time to draw to the Father, when we take that time to stay awake.
Yeah, stay
remember
awake.
We said there was a physical. The first week we started this, we said there was a physical and a spiritual. I want us to connect for a moment on what was. The spiritual temptation. Okay, so we've looked at it. We said that we could become a betrayer. We can become one who is after greatness. Well, Jesus looks at Peter and he says to him at the supper, he says, Satan has asked to sift you. Mm-hmm. Satan has asked to sift you. But Peter, I have prayed for you. Mm-hmm. He actually says Simon, but Simon, I have prayed for you. Job 16:20 says that the intercessor is our friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is actually referring to another person so that when Sandy or Shelley or Sabrina or Irene or myself have prayed over one another, we become the friend of the one we're praying for. And the intercessor is our friend. And he said, Simon, mm-hmm. Satan has asked to sift you, but I have mm-hmm. prayed for you. Now I'm going to start crying. Do you get it?
Yeah.
He
wants
great,
to sift all of us, too.
He does. But Jesus is our intercessor, mm-hmm. and he is our friend,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and he is praying for us. So what is the known unknown that we're about to face? We need to pray we not fall into temptation, knowing that he has interceded for us. Mm. He has interceded for us.
That's so powerful. My husband gives up something every year, and he's given up, I know Tara knows, he's given up coffee.
Lots of stuff.
He's given up sugar last year. He gave up TV.
Video games.
Video games is one of the first ones, yeah. And he does it for a whole year just to sacrifice to the Lord. Mm. And I have seen the move, the blessings in extraordinary ways. So this year he decides to give up 3 to 4 in the morning. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know how hard that would be. I know for Tara, it's probably not.
Yeah.
But
3 to 4 in the morning, if I determined to give it, would be very hard.
Yeah, but for, so anyways, and this has nothing to do with bragging or whatever, but, you know, just seeing my husband's obedience to doing it, and he's got a new job, and he's working really, really hard. Like, he doesn't get home till 10 at night, and he still gets up.
Mm.
I mean, he's up in the morning. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, you love sleep, because I do. I really enjoy my sleep. And he was, so one morning Adam just said, hey, will you get up with me from now on? And I was like, and then we've been doing the study on prayer. I'm like, okay, I prayed for a God-fearing man my whole life. And I'm telling you, the time from 3 to 4 in the morning where it's so quiet, and it's not easy for me because I am all about my sleep. My husband and I, his faith has grown together. Our kids, our marriage, it's amazing to see what God is doing just for an obedience from 3 to 4 in the morning mm-hmm. of praying. and just to hear the quiet, the quietness, and it's just an amazing time. And I've been praying for my friends' marriages that are really struggling. And so when they call me during the day and say, hey, there was a breakthrough today, and I'm like, yes, you know. And so just to encourage that time of prayer.
It is important. It is important. I was talking with my friend Camille, and Camille was at a training that I did at our church on prayer. And she said, you know, Tara, you said that for you, it comes naturally to read your Bible. I could start reading my Bible and I forget, and then 2 hours later, I'm still reading. Mm-hmm. Now, as I read my Bible, I pray through my Bible, but I don't consider my prayer time, unless I've actually journaled. That's just me. But I wake up praying and I pray through my Bible, but I need that. But I am more apt to study the Word of God than I am to do a set-aside, focused prayer time. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to work at making sure my journal happens, okay? Whereas for my reading the Bible, that one I have, I do that. She says, Tara, and she goes, praying is no problem for me. She goes, I am a without ceasing person. I mean, she goes, all day long, my dialogue is with God. I'm just, that's who I am. She goes, I can't even imagine it not being anybody's natural, this is what they're going to do. But opening up the Bible to read, that's a struggle. And she goes, I have to work hard to make that happen. And I said, you know, that's just a perfect example of the body of Christ, and that we're all not going to be exactly the same. And my struggle is to making sure I do the journal time. Your struggle is to make sure you do the word time. But the key is we need to have both. We have to have them both in tandem so that we can have that, because it's the word that gives the power and the authority. And then the communicating with them then is what gives us the equipping. Do you see how it's the two of them going together? And I wish you could see, my fingers are like
interlocked.
That was the word I was trying to think of.
You know, when you were saying that, since we're on prayer, you were talking about praying through the Bible. You know, how many listeners out there don't know what you're talking about?
Well, when I say praying through the Bible, as I read a passage, I literally will read it and then will ask God, how can I pray this into my life? And at different times, Greg and I both, we have prayed through the entire Bible over our children. Michaela and Grant both have a Bible that has our prayer journals all the way through it, both of ours. And then I took a year and I spent an entire year prayer journaling through a Bible for my husband. And because praying the Word of God is where it's powerful and effective. And Jesus knew that we needed that preparation. We needed that prayer, because that is what enables us to stand against the deceiver. That's what enables us to handle the deception that will come in. And so we need to make sure that in our preparation, we're praying and that we're reading the Word.
So when you're talking journal, you're writing your prayers
in my Bible
journal.
And in a journal. I write them in a journal. We're so glad you're listening, and we look forward to hearing to you come back.